Blog Talk Radio.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Howdy, folks. Welcome to the most listened to radio show on the internet hosted by a masked wrestling cowboy. This is Maverick's Comic Roundup, and I am the Maverick. And thanks for listening. If you want to call in and talk comic books tonight, you can do that as well. We have coming up a cool hour of comic book talk. We are going to cover the news of the week. We're going to cover some cool comics, and a little later on, we're going to talk about the very first episode of the new Netflix Luke Cage series, which hit today. So if you want to talk about any of that, 718-508-9883 is your call-in number. The lines are open, and we're going to get into a little comic book news to start things off this week. In the news, Boom Studios' new WWE comic books begin in November with a one-shot special called Then, Now, and Forever, with the regular series hitting in January, and they recently released the solicitation for number one of the WWE, and it's called Breaking the Shield, and it's going to cover the breakup of the Shield with Seth Rollins' return after an injury. So it looks like they're kind of blending fact and fiction on the comic book. I'm not sure what to expect out of that. There's also a back feature with the New Day. So I'll be very interested in that, and I will be covering that both on my blog, Wrestling with Comics section of my blog, and definitely we'll be talking about it here on the Comic Roundup. Also, DC Entertainment has released a new Superhero Girls music video this week from Fifth Harmony. The song's called That's My Girl, and you can check it out on the DC Superhero Girls Facebook page. So if you're a fan or you have a little fan at home, they may want to check that out. On October 10th, Fathom Events will be hosting a one-night screening of the new DC Comics animated feature, Batman, Return of the Caped Crusaders. The animated film is going to reunite Adam West, Burt Ward, and Julie Newmar, and be set in the universe of the 1966 Batman animated, or live-action series, I should say. This one's going to be animated. They're also going to have Joker, Penguin, Catwoman, obviously, and they are hinting that Batman and Robin go into space. So they're going to do some stuff they couldn't previously do on the show. It's a one-night event. They're also promising some special features and things to go along with that. So if you're a fan of the Fathom Events, you may want to check that out. And that's at most of your bigger movie studios. You can check it out by going to fathomevents.com, I imagine. This December, DC Comics and Dynamite Entertainment are going to kick off Wonder Woman 77 Meets the Bionic Woman, a miniseries teaming the two 70s icons from the show Bionic Woman and Wonder Woman. They have been putting out comics based on the Wonder Woman 77 series, similar to the Batman 66 series that we were just talking about. So they're going to do another joint crossover there. They've been doing some with Batman where he's met Steven Peele, the Green Hornet, and a couple others. So Coming up in DC Comics itself, the Justice League is going to be battling the Suicide Squad in a DC Comics event beginning this December. The Justice League discovers that Amanda Waller's team of villains is out there and what's going on, and of course they're not going to sit well with the Justice League, and it looks like there's going to be a lot of fighting involved, as you would. So Justice League Suicide Squad hits this December. At a recent Q&A, Marvel has announced that Stan Lee has already shot 4 of his next cameos for Marvel movies. And at 93 years old, this has set off a lot of speculation about Stan Lee's health. There's been a lot of talk about Stan's health. He's had to cancel a handful of appearances. And people are wondering if Stan's in failing health. It could just be that he's 93 years old. We don't know. We haven't heard anything official on it. So hopefully we'll hear soon, at least an all clear or whatever it's going to be, and that Stan is okay. So we're hopeful for that. Also today, we talked about earlier being the first day of Netflix launching the Luke Cage series, I should say. Also today is Force Friday for Star Wars fans. There was a midnight opening at Toys R Us, and essentially, if you're not familiar, it's when all of the products, or at least all the product is supposed to hit stores based on the upcoming movie Rogue One. It's a way to start the ball rolling for publicity and promotion. Disney Store will be doing a special events all weekend. Barnes & Noble's will be doing special events. And it sounds like Target's got some stuff lined up. So if you're a Star Wars fan and you're interested in some of the Rogue One information, now's a good time to get out there and check it out. There's a lot out there. We hit the stores, my girls and I. We checked out some stuff. Not too much super interesting as far as, you know, giving away movie information, but, you know, as time goes on, we'll hear more about that. And new comic releases this week. Lots of new comics. There's an interesting group of comics out there this week. As I was putting together the list, this is not a complete list of everything that's been put out, but, you know, this is some of the things that caught my attention, some of the things I've seen in stores. I've actually read a couple in stores this week. On the Marvel side of things, if you're following Civil War II, something we talked about last week, Steve Rogers, Captain America number 5, New Avengers number 16, Kingpin number 3, Sam Wilson, Captain America 13, Thunderbolts 5, Ultimates 11, Totally Awesome Hulk 10, Spider-Woman 11, and Rocket Raccoon and Groot number 10 all tie in to the big Civil War event going on. So if you're following the tie-ins, get your piggy banks out. Also, the Deadpool Annual number 1, Doctor Strange Annual number 1, Star Wars 23, Nova 11, Squirrel Girl 12, Nighthawk 5, and X-Men 92 number 7, all in stores this week from Marvel Comics. And of those, I've had a chance to check out Star Wars 23. That'll be a review that's going up on Totally Driven this week, as well as a few other ones. On DC Comics side of things, Teen Titans Rebirth hit stores this week, a relaunch of the Teen Titans series set in the Rebirth continuity, so they're still playing catch-up on that event. Blue Beetle number 1, featuring the return of Ted Kord and Jaime Reyes. Titans 3, following a storyline directly related to the Rebirth event. Wonder Woman number 7, Flash number 7, Action Comics 964, Batgirl number 3, Detective Comics 941, which is a part 3 of the Night of the Monster Men crossover. We mentioned that briefly last week. And we have Astro City 16, all in stores this week. In other comics that were released this week, not necessarily related to Marvel or DC, I do want to get out there and talk about other things. New Star Trek comics, Star Trek Waypoint number 1 from IDW Comics. Mask, Mobile Armor Strike Command, if you remember that from the 80s, that is back in comic book form from IDW with an issue number 1 this week. It ties into their new Revolution line where they're bringing together a lot of classic 80s properties, including Mask and Transformers and G.I. Joe and a lot of their other licenses are going to be in one joint universe after this event. Saga 38 from Image, the very popular series Saga, continues on. Disney Princesses number 6 from Joe's book, if you've got a princess fan or, you know, I have one at home. I have a caller on the line. Hang on there for a second, caller. Let me just get through these last handful of books. Walt Disney Comics and Stories was out this week. My Little Pony Friendship is Magic 46. X-Files Origin number 2. Penny Dreadful number 4. King's Quest number 5, which is a crossover miniseries featuring the Phantom, Mandrake, and Flash Gordon from Dynamite Comics. Tales from the Dark Side 4. Lumberjanes number 30. And ROM Space Knight number 1. Yes, ROM is back in comics. Also a part, I believe, of the IDW tie-in. So that's this week's new releases as well as news. We are going to – let's just check in with our caller. I was going to go to commercial, but our caller's been waiting patiently for a couple minutes. So we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hey, this is Magic Mike. How are you, Maverick?
Magic Mike. How are you, my friend?
All right, my buddy. You know, you could take your commercial break. I could wait for you.
All right. Well, I wasn't sure who it is, but now that I know it's you, you're a patient man. So let's take our first commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Magic Mike from the Totally Driven Network.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in Southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days
What's
a week.
What's the matter?
Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right. Welcome back to Mavericks Comic Roundup here on the Totally Driven Radio Network. And I am joined by our first caller tonight, Magic Mike himself, the host of Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferreira and the new NFL Roundup here on Roundup Night on Totally Driven Radio.
I was thinking the same thing when I was saying about the NFL Roundup and then your Roundup. And, you know, before we go into anything, I just got to say you're doing a great job with the comic, you know, talking about comic books.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You seem to know your stuff. You seem to be a big comic book fan. As am I. I love the comic book news, and I love the fact that you talk about different genres and just different comic books and stuff like that.
Well, I appreciate it. Comic books has been something that I've been involved in almost my entire life. I was a superhero fan before I even liked comic books. And then growing up with it, I worked in a couple comic book stores. And then as an adult, you know, obviously my wrestling character's got a heavy comic book influence to him. But as an adult, I worked a lot with kids and stuff like that. And I learned that comic books and superheroes is a great way into kids who normally wouldn't read or even exercise. And so I'm a big fan that there's comics for everybody, and working around them all these years, it's been, you know, just a great way. And now this show is a great way to get out there and get people. You can use comics to trick people into all sorts of things.
do your homework, kids, and get some comic books.
Exactly.
Right. You're exactly right. When I was little, I remember watching the Batman and Robin, it was in syndication, in the 80s. I remember when it was on WPIX in New York, and me and my cousin used to pretend we were Batman and Robin, and he had a basement that actually could have been a Batcave. That's how big it was. And I remember, wearing the towels and going around with my aunt's good towels and pretending we were superheroes. It was fun.
That's awesome. I used to do something very similar to that, except I didn't have my own Batcave, so I'm a little jealous there.
No,
but,
I didn't have it either. It was my cousin's, but it was cool. We had the whole setup, and I'll even go one further. He had the Batman. He had a Batcave toy, so we used to play with that. And he had the original Super Friends, so we used to play with the Super Friends.
That's pretty awesome.
And
yeah,
I
had a lot
stuck
of those
Robin.
Well, they were his toys, so you had to be the sidekick.
Yeah, I had to be the Robin. There was a Robin to his Batman, so it kind of worked. But I'm glad to hear you on a Friday night talking comic books. I called actually because I wanted to talk about the Luke Cage, but I didn't know if you wanted to talk about it this soon or
No, let's talk about it. Yeah, we're talking all night about Luke Cage.
I tell you, bro, I am so pumped because it was something that I was waiting for a while. I remember reading Luke Cage when I was a kid, and a friend of mine got me into him. I didn't know who it was, and then, I was reading, the 70s comics and the 80s comics and stuff like that. Luke Cage was really cool. So to see Netflix, this is why your show is so cool, because we can talk about Netflix. To see Netflix bring something like this, and it's not going to be cheesy, because Netflix has a history of churning out some good comic book movies and shows.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I am a huge fan. I was very excited when they announced the deal, because I'm a big Daredevil fan. And I love Daredevil. I actually was one of the 11 people who I think read Alias, which set up the Jessica Jones series. And Luke Cage has been what I've seen so far. I'm not all the way through it. That's why we're not going to do too many spoilers, but we're going to talk about the show in general, because I know
first episode, and I can tell you I loved it. But you're a big Daredevil fan, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm a big Cody Rhodes fan, and Cody Rhodes, not sure if you knew this, but if you go to ProWrestlingTees.com, you go to the Cody Rhodes section, he actually had a comic book designer. I believe I want to say he's from Marvel. Anyway, he had a designer. I'll send you a picture of it, actually, of my shirt. But he had a designer make a Cody Rhodes comic book T-shirt.
Really?
Yep. And I'll show you the picture. It was so awesome, my friend. You're gonna love it. When I showed Bay Ragney, he loved it. He said it was cool.
Yeah, I definitely want to see that.
But I'll tell you right from I'll give you my little opinion of the first episode. If you got, and I won't give spoilers, I'll just tell you what I thought. I thought the show, the first episode, was very good. The way they set it up, from the beginning to the end, it made me think about what's going to happen, you know, in the episodes to come. It was very good and very well thought about.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that they moved him out of Hell's Kitchen a little bit so he can set up his own world, and it's a very unique world to Luke Cage. And the casting, and I was talking to someone earlier about that, the casting on the show is absolutely unreal. Some of the people they got, Frankie Faison, I'm a huge fan of. I love Mike Coulter when he was in Jessica Jones, when they introduced the Luke Cage character. And everybody is doing such a great job on this show, and I can't wait to really dig into it.
I'll tell you who I was happy to see. Juice, Dio Rossi from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, right? That was a surprise.
Dude,
I purposely stayed away. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You purposely stayed away from. Good.
I purposely stayed away from a lot of casting news and stuff like that when these shows come up because I don't want to get jaded in any way. I want it to breathe and have its own life before I sit down and watch it. So some of these people showed up on the screen, and I was just blown away. Alfred Woodard, when I saw her, I was like, wow, they really went all out on this show. And I love the mood. I love the setting. And they've already done a great job setting up the character of Luke Cage. And now as the story goes through, it'll be very interesting to see where it goes. Misty Knight
I'm
a surprise
big,
to me.
I was going
to
say, I'm a big NBA fan, and I like in the beginning when they were talking about the Knicks and they were talking about basketball. That was pretty cool. I thought that was pretty cool. And I also think that Netflix is good for you know, Marvel and having and DC and having all the comic book shows at your disposal. You know, if you want to watch Gotham, you could watch Gotham. If you could want to watch, you know, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and all these other ones, you know, that's at your disposal. Something like that, it's very good for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to catch up on things you may have missed. Like, I unfortunately, Supergirl was on Monday nights at 8. Obviously, I've been watching something else. it's a Raw night, and old habits die hard, so I miss Supergirl, and I DVR'd it, but it's so much easier and accessible on Netflix for me, and I'm catching up on that show before they kick into the new season, and I really enjoy it. I don't know
what
all the drama was around that show because it's fantastic.
They moved from Channel 2 to CBS to CW.
To CW, yeah, it gives CW a very interesting place, and never before did I, you know, we have now superhero shows Monday through Thursday at 8 o'clock on the CW, and that's really cool, and I'm glad they kept it going, because it was going to be canceled at CBS. So the fact that they were able to broker a deal and bring Supergirl in, the only question I have is they already established Supergirl in an alternate universe, so it's going to be interesting to see if they change that. Things that happened in The Flash this year may make that a little bit easier without getting too much into off the path with the Flashpoint that they're doing in The Flash coming up. Maybe that'll be Supergirl's way into that universe. I don't know. But it's cool that you have them all, even if you don't watch them all, you know, just to have those options. I mean, as a kid, if you had told me we were going to have a Luke Cage television show and a Supergirl television show and Green Arrow, you know, it was just inconceivable. And now they're all a reality, and there's more coming. The Tick just got green-lighted, which I actually forgot in my news, so for Amazon TV. So it's a really good kind of comic book fan.
I want to watch the Legends. I actually missed the Legends. I want to watch that one. So that's coming on Netflix. I was happy when Netflix decided. And you know what? I agree with you. You know what I would like to see? I don't know if we're going to get to see it, but I would like to see The Punisher. The Punisher tied in with Daredevil, but I like to see The Punisher get its own own show.
It's happening. I don't know if they officially announced it, but he's been shooting and they've been doing, pun intended, and there is a Punisher show coming in after The Defenders. They're kind of tied up before where they're headed, but The Punisher is
Jessica Jones. They said that they're not going to release Jessica Jones, the second season until probably 2018.
Right, because what they're doing, they're actually, and Daredevil's getting the third season, but they have this one, which will be Luke Cage will finish up, and then I'm guessing we won't see Iron Fist until early next year. Because they do space them out a bit. And then after Iron Fist, they're going to do The Defenders, which is going to bring all those, kind of like the first wave of Marvel films. This is the first wave of Netflix series is going to come together, and they're going to do them all together as The Defenders. And you may see The Punisher in that, and you're probably going to see some of these other characters that were snuck in, your Misty Knights and your Hellcats, probably play a part of the Defenders. And then in Phase 2, you're going to see Punisher, another Jessica Jones, another Daredevil, and who knows what at that point.
Yeah, it's a great idea for the fans of for comic book fans that love the movies and they'll love the shows, and we got a lot coming. I mean, believe it or not, I'm a big fan of Daredevil. And I'm also a big fan of Gotham. I think Gotham just shot in Staten Island.
Did it really?
Yep, it was shot. Actually, the guy who plays the Riddler, my sister-in-law, got to meet him.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yep,
Did you get out to see any of it yourself?
Oh, no, I wasn't able to go down to see where they were shooting it. Or anything. I just saw pictures. She sent pictures and stuff. Yeah. So it wasn't it wasn't anything. It wasn't anything. I didn't get to see it, but she sent me a picture of her meeting him and talking with him about the comic world. She's a big fan of comics, just like I am. Hey, did you collect Marvel cards when you were little?
I collected all kinds of cards when I was little. Marvel was a big one. I had a big X-Men card collection in the 90s. They did an awesome series of cards. I remembered them.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, too. Yeah, I remember a lot of those comic books and different stuff. They did a good job, with all that stuff. But I tell you, though, I'm excited. I'm glad that comic books are back, that you can read them, some of them are digital, but I'm glad you can read them.
Yeah, they're still going strong. There's great comic book stores all over the place. They're not as plentiful as they were back in the day, but they're still out there, and there's a lot of great people in them. I spent a lot of time in a local comic store, Comic Universe, near me. I do a lot of special events, and I pitch in and help out around there sometimes with different things that they got going on, Free Comic Book Day and whatnot. And I just love getting in there and talking with, like freaks like me. We get in there, and it's a cool place to go and hang out. And most of the people are very welcoming that I found in comic book stores. And print comics are still out there. I mean, if you can't get to a comic book store, digital is great. I'm not anti-digital at all, because there are so many people that don't have a comic book store near them. But there's just something cool about getting into the store and picking up something new. Every once in a while you find something completely you never thought you'd see before, and it becomes a new favorite, which is cool about that too, which is a little more difficult to do.
My favorite comic book of all time is A Death in the Family, when Robin dies.
Oh, that was one of the books that really, really hooked me on comics. Like, I told you I was a big superhero fan. It was mostly on television. But when I was about 13 or so, I got my first job, and I pretty much spent it all on comic books. I'm not kidding. And Death in the Family was – I'm not kidding. I had my first little paper out, and most of that money went towards comics. And every Friday night I'd ride my bike up, and Death in the Family was one of the first ones that I really got into, and it just blew me away.
You and me both, pal. I used to spend my money on the WCW comic books. I remember as a kid reading them, and it was a cool time to be a wrestling fan and a comic book fan, because you got the both the best worlds. But all my money basically went to those comics. And then I remember discovering The Punisher and reading the Ghost Rider. I remember I was very much into those comic books because it was something different and something new to me. But definitely, when you go back to all these series and all the tie-ins to the different, it's awesome to see, it's awesome to see this. It's awesome to see Luke Cage, in different stuff, in different forms, and who's going to be a part of whom show. You know, you never know. Villains may join up. Listen, for everybody listening to this show right now on Totally Driven Network Entertainment, it's a great topic. Call in, talk to the Maverick, 718-508-9883 is the number. So, Maverick, I just want to thank you, my friend, for talking comics with me. I'll call your show from time to time. We'll talk some Luke Cage. I'm very interested. I got to watch the rest of the shows. I got to take my time because, I want to watch them, nice and not bingey,
Yeah, and I would definitely recommend that because there were already the first episode, there were so many little things that were popping up that were tied into the other Marvel shows as well as into the main Marvel universe, the movie universe. Things were popping up. It was like, oh my gosh, that's from Iron Man 2. Oh my gosh, that's from, Jessica Jones. So it's really cool to see that it is a viable universe and all together. But yeah, thank you. Call in anytime, my friend. I plan on calling in your show again very soon. I don't have a chance to talk wrestling on the radio anymore. So,
anytime you want to talk wrestling, you know the number and you know the times. Lately I've been taking off because of my dad. My dad's been very sick, so I've been doing, spurts here and there. Tomorrow I'll be with him all day. I'll be with my dad all day tomorrow. But yeah, anytime you want to talk wrestling, my friend, you know the number, man. I don't care if you call the show every week, twice a week. Anytime you want to talk wrestling and you need your wrestling fill, I'm here, man. I got your wrestling hookup. And I'll tell you what, though. Your comic book show, your comic show is great. Keep up the good work. It's just amazing. I'm glad we got a comic show on the network. We needed one. We have one. So good luck to you, my friend. And I will talk to you next week. We'll talk some more Luke Cage. I'm interested in that.
Yeah, absolutely, because we'll definitely catch up on all of it then. Thank you, sir. And, best wishes to your father and a speedy recovery. I heard what had happened, and I'm very sorry. And
yeah,
I'm glad he's hanging in there and he's doing well.
I was going to say one quick thing. It's really sad. Also, on another note, last week I heard Frank Namoli. And if Frank's listening, I just want to tell Frank it was cool hearing his voice and your voice together again. Even, a short little reunion, but it was fun. It was great.
Yeah, well, hopefully he's going to call in again. He's got a standing invitation. Everybody's got a standing invitation. And the whole Totally Driven family, anytime they want to call and talk comics, I know there's a bunch of comic and superhero and TV geeks out there. So thank you, my friend. I will talk to you very soon. Go take care of your father. I hope he feels better.
Thank you, my friend, and I'll talk to you soon. And you know what? You and I have to get to 200.
Yeah, right?
200, But you know, if the totally driven radio last night, they and Jannetty and Nick, they do a great job, and I love that show. If they can get the 200, pal, we gotta get the 200.
Yeah, well, you're closer than I am. I only have 198 to go, so I'm well
I'm
on my way.
I'm close to 100, but my NFL roundup is 3. But I'm glad that we can.
Yeah,
we
you're
can
3.
Be on.
So.
Yeah, and Friday night, folks, is roundup night. But don't forget to give Maverick a call. Let's keep the Luke Cage talk going, guys. Come on. All right, Maverick, have a good show. I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, Mike. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bud.
That was Magic Mike Ferrara, host of Pro Wrestling Now, as well as the NFL Roundup, which precedes my show on Friday nights. Because, like I said, it's Roundup night here on Totally Driven Entertainment. We're talking Luke Cage, the new Netflix show. Mike and I kind of touched on it. If you'd like to call in, Mike already gave you the number, but I can give it to you again if you like. Oh, my goodness, I had it sitting right here in front of me, and I moved it away. The number is 718-508-9883. I really need to keep that written down in front of me and stop moving it away from me. If you want to call in and talk Luke Cage or anything else comic book related, we're going to take our second commercial break and be back after this.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right, and we are back on Maverick's Comic Roundup here on the Totally Driven Radio Network on Friday night. If you want to call and talk comic books, the lines are open. 718-508-9883 is the number. And we are talking Netflix Luke Cage, the 13-episode series hit Netflix today. and I was incredibly impressed. I watched the first two episodes so far. We're not going to do spoilers. We're not going to do too much. There might be a few things that leak out, but we're not going to get into too much. But if you want to call in and talk, give me your impressions of the show. Tell me what you thought. That would be awesome. Otherwise, you get to listen to me talk all about it. So, yeah, we already established talking to Magic Mike a little earlier. Luke Cage is set in Harlem, and they created a very unique Harlem for the show, I think. Almost a timeless feel that went along with the show, and we find Luke, that's where Luke has gone after the events of Jessica Jones, and he was played a big part in that series, and what he's doing now. And the first episode essentially was a setup for the series. You get to meet Cottonmouth, the villain, and you get to meet Pop, and many of the other characters inhabiting the world, and you see where they all go. Casting is absolutely fantastic on this show. Like I said, I love the tone, and I think they nailed, and I am not the biggest Luke. I've been reading Luke Cage as part of the Marvel Knights line and into the Daredevil line and a part of the Avengers, so I can't say I'm the world's noted expert on Luke Cage, but everything I know about Luke Cage, I think they've done a fantastic job in casting Mike Colton for the show. And, you know, just absolutely Coulter, not Colton. Sorry about that. Mike Coulter for the show. And he has been absolutely phenomenal as Luke Cage. And it looks like he's going to carry this show on his back. He does a great job, especially the contrast of his character in the world of Harlem. We have a caller on the line, and it's a friend of the show calling back. Welcome to Maverick Comic Roundup, Mr. Frank Namoli, one of the original voices here on the Totally Driven Radio Network.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Had to call in. Definitely had to call in. I have watched the first episode fully through. Gotta say, I'm very impressed. I did like him on Jessica Jones. And now that I see him on his own, I like the casting and the show even more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we did get a little bit of him going forward in Jessica Jones, but no doubt that it was going to be on his own. But I'm glad they, like I said earlier, I'm glad they put him in his own world. So he wasn't, you know, Jessica Jones had her own world. Daredevil has his own world, even though they're connected and joint. They're letting it each almost as if it's their own comic, their own series. You know, each series is treated. It's not jammed together as one world, which I really like about the Netflix shows. I was afraid when they started and they said everything was going to be kind of based in Hell's Kitchen that it was going to be every show was going to feel the same. But so far it hasn't. And this show has absolutely its own unique feel and look to it. And I love that.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, you know, I can't emphasize this enough, that Netflix has been phenomenal with the casting of everything in that little pocket of the Marvel Universe. Everything from Daredevil to the Kingpin to, you know, who they had as the Punisher, John Bethel. It's just like they seem to be doing their research and finding the right people, which speaks volumes. And, you know, after you're already watching this and now you're already chomping at the bit for the Iron Fist show.
Right, absolutely. You got to see it because that one absolutely is going to have its own unique look to it. And I haven't seen – I mean, I've seen the trailer, but I'm really looking forward to seeing more on it. Yeah, but – just amazing when I first saw Mike Coulter, and they're because everyone said they're doing Luke Cage, it's got to be Terry Crews, you know, everybody and guys like that. And then I didn't even know who Mike Coulter was, to be quite honest with you. I'm not a big Hollywood guy, so I don't watch a lot of stuff. If it doesn't have, you know, guys in tights or talking animals, I tend not to watch it, unfortunately. But I looked at him and I went, that dude is Luke Cage. And then he brings a depth to the role. A seriousness, an intimidation, a silent intimidation. You know, he's just not a loud mouth. He's not really talk big, but he's got the quiet strength that Luke Cage needs to have.
Oh, definitely. I kind of didn't know how to. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. Oh. I thought I lost you there for a minute.
Yeah, I was a little confused when they introduced him in Jessica Jones because I didn't understand where the character was going. And,
right.
You know, but then once they revealed the whole Purple Man and, you know, okay, that then it made a lot more sense. And now, like I said, now that he's in his own show, and I'm trying not to reveal anything.
Right.
Definitely like the direction. I'm interested to see where they go villain-wise because I heard you say this earlier. I also stay away from the casting because I want to be surprised.
Yeah.
I don't need to know who the I'd love to know who the villain is, but you know, I just want somebody to pop up and I'll be like, oh, that is so cool.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. When I tuned it in, the one good thing about a character like Luke Cage is he doesn't have a Joker that everybody knows off the top. So you get a little more suspense in the build. And I'm going to jack this guy's name up, but he's brilliant. Mahershala Ali plays Cornell Stokes Cottonmouth, and he is so good. He had such a... Like I got the same feeling when I saw him that I got when I saw Wesley Snipes in New Jack City. Like he had that charisma, that leadership charisma that, you know, you understand why people would follow this guy, even though he does awful, awful things. Like you got that charisma. And he was so good because that's the character he had to set up the most because, I mean, you met some Luke Cage in Jessica Jones, and obviously he's the most familiar character on the show, but building the rest of the characters, which I think they did a good job in the first episode, I keep saying issue because it's a comic book show, in the first episode of setting up the world and getting all the other characters without losing its lead. You know, Luke was still very much a part of the driving force of the show, and I think they did a good job of getting you to know everybody you needed to know in the first episode.
Yeah, you know what? That's something that you got to give Netflix credit for. They are introducing us to characters that, if you're a comic fan, you know. But
right.
Again, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, to the newer fans, they don't know. And they're doing such a great job of introducing them. They're not dragging it out. They're not just trying to shove it down your throat kind of and do, hey, this is who they are. This is they're going at the right pace on it. And I'm really pleasantly surprised by the whole Netflix thing.
It has. Like I was excited about Daredevil. I was excited about the Defenders. I'm not a huge Iron Fist, Luke Cage fan. I'm familiar with them. I don't dislike them. I've enjoyed Luke Cage more than Iron Fist because Luke Cage played a role in the New Avengers. He played a role in Jessica Jones, which I actually did read Alias when it came out the first time. And then he was he played a great part in one of my favorite arcs of Daredevil, where he was actually the bodyguard to Matt Murdock, and it was just done really, really well. The contrast, and I hope that's a contrast you get to see on the show because you got, you know, Daredevil's a little more chatty and talkative, and Matt Murdock's a little more than Luke Cage, who was very stern and serious. But Iron Fist, and then when they said Jessica Jones was a part of that, I was kind of blown away because, you know, I read Alias. I really enjoyed it. I didn't think anybody else really, and I know she had a part in the Avengers, but, you know, without getting into anything that may spoil the show or even the Defenders, you know, it wasn't a huge part.
Yeah, and you got to watch these shows because they do sneak stuff in. Like, a lot of people may not have caught this, and I don't know, you probably did, but they did sneak a villain in the Jessica Jones. And it was a Daredevil villain, and I'm talking about Nuke, and
yep.
I'm interested to see where he pops up again, and if he pops up, because remember, you know, like I said, Jessica Jones had a lot to do with Luke Cage, and if he pops up in the Luke Cage story arc
at
some point.
Yeah, I mean, right now they have him in Harlem, which I think is brilliant, so he can stand alone and not be encumbered by the other show's continuity. It'll be interesting to see if they reference Jessica Jones or if somebody like he comes over. I know Rosario Dawson is the linchpin character. She's like the Agent Coulson, Night Nurses. So she's making an appearance. So in some regard, which she's already interacted with Luke before. But just, I mean, it's the 21st century, man, and we've got Misty Knight on television.
And you know what? I don't have a problem with Rosario Dawson being in everything.
No. She's definitely nice to have
now,
around. And, you know, to have that one character be the linchpin, I think, is great. And the fact that they went with a Rosario Dawson gives it so much more oomph.
Now, something that I think is going to be interesting to watch with this whole Netflix universe is, you know, we know it's building up to the Defenders. But we also know that they've said that they want to branch out with some other characters that Marvel recently got the rights back to. And they did show interest in doing a Punisher show. So I'm wondering if they will condense Power Man and Iron Fist and Jessica Jones in the one show at some point and do the Heroes for Hire.
I'd be very interesting to see where they went with that. There's actually a funny line in the first one of the first Luke Cage where he mentions something along that lines, and I cracked up laughing. I thought it was brilliantly done. Again, trying not to spoil too much, but there's a funny line towards the end of the show that Luke says, and I thought that was brilliant.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'd like to see if they do a Heroes for Hire down the line, maybe combine some, because they do. There's a lot of interconnectivity of these characters, which is why they picked them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do want to do other things. And it'd be nice to keep them going. I mean, I don't know the popularity of each one. I mean, Jessica Jones did a great job. It actually got it its first Emmy for the Netflix shows. And it's definitely. The Punisher does have his own Netflix show coming.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying.
It's definitely happening. So I know people have been speculating. And sure, it's definitely happening. They're casting it now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen after the Defenders. I hope they put the Punisher in the Defenders. You can't put too many in because it becomes a circus, especially the first one. So I don't know if you're going to see. I think the Punisher and Hellcat and all these other characters that are out there, you know, are great. I just don't know how it depends on the scope of the Defenders, I guess, because they really haven't gotten into what.
Yeah, and then you got to wonder where that fits in with the rest of the Marvel universe, because the rumors are going back and forth that it will be part of the Infinity War. It won't be part of the Infinity War.
Yeah,
it's interesting because they're promising 68 heroes in those movies.
Right.
So I can't see them not including these because
I would love it.
I don't know.
Even if you can't make them part of the plot, even if you can't make it part of the plot, if you're going to do some big over the top thing, you know, I don't know if it's like a world encompassing. I mean, they already did New York, but if it's going to be some world encompassing menace that this turns into, or some kind of situation where you need 60 some heroes, I'd love to at least see Daredevil and Punisher, and even if you don't get to spend a lot of time with them, just having them in it, you know, just brings the two universes together. And that's, you know, I'd even like to see Coulson and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back in the Marvel universe, movie universe more.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that Marvel is in a very unique position because, unlike DC, Marvel's TV crosses over with the movies. They could do something. And now, this idea just came to me, and I'm going to bounce it off of you. They could, you know how they like to do their big crossover in the books?
Yeah.
They could literally do a huge crossover with all their TV shows leading into a movie. How awesome would that be?
Oh, that would be something else. You know, you get Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., whatever starts in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. carries into Daredevil and Punisher and then eventually makes its way to the Avengers. That would be something
you have
heard
every
of.
Every show crossover. And have you seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet this year, by any chance?
I have not seen episode 2 yet. I have it ready to watch. I saw 1 because I really wanted to see how they were going to do the Ghost Rider thing. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I'm a little behind because I didn't catch all of last season. I am a fan of the show, but it's just TV and me don't get along. I have to binge watch when I have a moment. And
exactly.
I really liked what they did with Ghost Rider. I was a little bent that they didn't use, you know, the original Ghost Rider and the motorcycle. But, you know, the new guy, you know, it works for the show. It gives you the diversity that it needs.
Well,
and,
the one thing
I really don't have a problem with it.
I'm not a fan of the – I love Ghost Rider. I'm not a fan of the new Ghost Rider. The one thing I keep hearing and that cracks me up is they should change his name to Ghost Driver since he's in a car now instead of a motorcycle.
That to me, when they said they were going with the car version, I want the motorcycle, man. I really want the motorcycle. And I guess it was cheaper to do a car or I don't know if they were going for something different, but I'm with you.
Well, that's the character in the book now. He does have a car. And that's the thing that honestly surprised me because that character in the books was not well received all.
No, the miniseries didn't do well, and the art, I try not to knock too much, but the art on that was a mess, at least the covers that I saw. I didn't even pick it up. When I looked at the cover, I went, this looks like this is done by an eighth grade art class. Actually, I know eighth grade art class. I was not a fan of it. I just didn't like the look of it. I didn't like the character. Why is Ghost Rider got a car? I got grumpy old comic guy syndrome for a minute and wouldn't even pick it up.
Yeah, and that's why it kind of surprised me. Like, when I heard they were going with Ghost Rider, I was like, oh, cool. Was it going to be Catch or Blaze? And then when I heard who they were going with, I was like, I like what they've done so far with it. I like that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is getting into the heroes. Because I think at some point they almost had to. Not even just a little. Like their Inhuman storyline last year, I will tell you, drug out way too much.
The problem is they were trying to get the Inhumans to be the new X-Men situation because they don't have the X-Men, but they didn't use any of the Inhumans, and nobody knows the Inhumans to begin with, and the few that we do know. Even comic book fans are like the Inhumans. Seriously?
Well, that was the thing. And then they drug it out, and then they kind of... Because remember, they were supposed to do an Inhumans movie, and they scrapped the idea.
Right.
And I think they did that because they seen it wasn't going anywhere. But, you know, like I said, I'm interested to see where they go with it. I think adding a hero or villain each year... We'll definitely bring the show up because the show always gets huge ratings when they have some kind of crossover, whether it be with when they did the Deathlock.
Yeah.
You know, that was the first year. When... No, that's the... My house has... I'm home and my house has a alarm system that arms itself at certain times, and that was the actual house that was my house fortifying itself
against you.
No. I have a meatball sandwich. I don't want somebody to come over and steal it.
There you go. All right. Yeah. So. You know, I love what Marvel does with its joint universe. I think, you know, DC's going a completely different route, and in some ways, I think it's silly. In other ways, I'm okay with it because they're going to mess up with Flash in that movie, and I don't want to lose my Flash TV show because of it.
But you know what's funny is, and this is what cracks me up. I don't think you don't have to worry about that. The TV, they do it completely right. They're actually doing a big crossover event with all the DC heroes on the CW. And
yeah, I saw that.
And did you see who the villains are?
I did, and off the top of my head, I don't remember because I chalked it full with what I needed to know.
Very
for this week.
Interesting. It's the Dominators.
Right,
the aliens,
right.
The big red dots on it. And if you remember, they were a big part of the DC Universe with the Bloodline stories where they were creating the new heroes.
Yeah.
So this
that could give them a big opening to introduce more characters into it. Although I don't know how many more characters they want to put into this CW universe that it's going to maintain. Four shows is going to be a lot to maintain.
And it almost shocked me that they've thrown Superman in the mix.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy.
That,
I didn't think they were ever going to do Superman.
No, because if you remember last year, they just showed him and then you might not be up to that episode.
I did see that one. I've been watching. Been
where
watching
they just showed him and
I did
just,
see the one where
gone.
He, yeah, for a hot second he was in. I don't even think that it was the same guy they cast. I think they just got some extra in a suit.
No. And the guy they cast, I'm familiar with Tyler Holcomb. He was a big player in another show that I like, MTV's Teen Wolf. And very, very good actor. I honestly, though, I was a little heartbroken that they didn't go with Welling.
Yeah.
For Superman. Because I think that kid earned that spot. And the fact that they never gave it to him in the movies or in the, you know, I thought this would have been a perfect point to bring him in because he would have been the right age to play it. As it is, because, you know, he's supposed to be a little older than Supergirl because of
the holes.
But, and if you remember, too, they're introducing into that, they're also introducing Miss Martian this year. So they're going to have a full roster. You know, you have the Justice Society with the, you know, Legends from last year. Green Arrow, The Flash, and if you remember,
and they both
Flash
have small
couple,
armies of their own.
Yeah, because you got Vibe, who is set to be a breakout any time now. Killer
Kid
Frost,
Flash, they've been setting up. Right, Jesse Quick,
Yep. So, although now I got to ask you a question. Since we're on the, I know we were talking about Luke Cage, but I got to ask you the question on Flash. Do you think it's redundant they're going with another speedster for the third year in a row?
I do.
As a villain?
I think Flash has a great rogues gallery, but how many more times can you go back to the speed thing? I mean, granted, they used a handful of the Flash's regular villains already, and they've kind of gotten them to the point where, you know, some of them are not even worthy of carrying an entire season. I would have liked to have seen, you know, drag the mystery of the Reverse Flash on a season or two and let Captain Cold be the guy and maybe have him put together the rogues throughout the course of the first season and then do Reverse Flash second season. Last season was great and all, but I think if you keep going back, you're going to run out of stories and you're going to have to start doing something really different soon. It'd be the same thing with Green Arrow. Every season they did a different Archer. You know, I mean, how many times can you do the same storyline and come up with creative twists?
Well, and the thing that concerned me was, I don't know if you read the creator's reasoning for this. It honestly shows me a lack of creativity because their reasoning that they wrote was, well, he's the fastest man alive, so he needs somebody just as fast, or it's pointless.
Hey, but he can be challenged in other ways, and that's the key to the Flash is he is challenged in other ways.
Mm-hmm. I was also about to say he has survived in the comics for 50 years without having a speedster constantly nipping at his heels.
Right, I mean, he's had his fair share of speed villains, but, you know, he's also had the rogues, your Captain Colds, your Captain Boomerangs, to comment Sheldon. It's amazing how many supervillains there are with advanced degrees. Mirror Master, Weather Wizard. You know, there's so many characters out there, and there's so many other ways they can go about it. I mean, Green Arrow was a little more stretched. He doesn't have a good rogues gallery. Obviously, he's been borrowing from Batman and the Teen Titans liberally for his first couple seasons.
Which is all right, because, you know, it's I was pleasantly surprised by everything. And, I mean, even like last year, I thought they got really creative with Green Arrow, with going with Damian Dark. Because that's one,
right.
You know what, if you had a hit me, I would have been like, I couldn't have predicted that one to save my life. He was portrayed very well,
right.
And it gave the supernatural. And it also gave you a little, you know, it gave a chance to bring back Constantine, which I thought was a great show that never got a chance.
Well, yeah, I mean, anytime you get that much on a major network, it's got to be something. I mean, Supergirl didn't fare very well. Neither did Constantine. For whatever reason,
well,
you know, I didn't think either of those shows were going to get a chance, and I was right. And it's why it's better for a network like CW, where, you know, they foster those kind of shows. And then with like Cloak and Dagger's going to Freeform, the old ABC Family, which is brilliant, because that is, if you want a teen angsty superhero show, that's where you take it. So it's just, it wasn't very smart to put Constantine on where it was.
Now, is that going to be in continuity with the rest of the Marvel TV universe?
That I'm not certain. I mean, there's no reason why it couldn't. Freeform is owned by ABC.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's possible, but I don't think it's been said either.
Now, aren't they also doing a Runaways TV show?
Yes, but that's for something. Is that Hulu?
Don't tell me that. I just canceled Hulu today.
That's not a weird one. I don't know if it's Hulu. It could be someone else. That's another internet show, isn't it?
So hard to keep track of. I'm gonna look that up while we're talking.
All right. Yeah.
But now that's an interesting. That's an interesting dilemma, because that is an X-Men property. So, yes,
I think
it is.
It's most
right.
I don't. It kind of depends on. Is it? Yeah, it kind of depends on. You know, that's where most of the villains lie, but I don't think they ever set it up as such. I don't know that it falls within the category of, you know, when they created the deal. I don't know that those characters were even created at the time. I think they stand alone more than anything. If you're referencing the Fox.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see, because, like I said, since it's on Hulu, you're definitely not going to see a Hulu-Netflix crossover.
No, that's not going to happen.
So it may be just a standalone, and unfortunately, I think that's the worst thing you could do, since everyone is so into the whole Marvel universe and being a cohesive unit.
Right.
But it is
a
good time to be.
Runaways is one of those things, I think, if you're going to do one that doesn't need to exist in the Marvel cinematic, then, you know, that one's a good one, because it kind of works better when they're on their own. You know what I mean? I think a show like The Runaway would benefit not having a lot of Marvel around. It gives them more of a desperate feel that these kids have to go out on their own and figure things out.
Yeah, it'll just be interesting to see what they do villain-wise and storyline-wise with it.
Right.
It is a great time to be a comic book fan and have a television.
Yeah, it really, really is. So many great things out there between the movies and the TV shows. Say, like we said earlier, things you never Misty Nights on television in the year 2016. You know.
And can I give a shout out real quick?
Absolutely.
I want to give a big thank you to the CW Network for putting out their app this week. because I was so bummed that I was not going to be able to watch the CW shows. And apparently they heard the outcry because, you know, a lot of people cut cable. And the CW network was on Hulu, which, you know, that's not bad. You had to wait a day. So I was okay with that. But then when they pulled it off of Hulu, and they didn't have an app where you could watch it on any of the streaming systems.
CW Seed, is that not like a regular app? I know they have shows on there. Is that not like carry their regular shows?
No, it did not.
Well, that's interesting.
It just carried old shows and shows that I've never heard of, and internet shows.
Well, they had their own. It had their own shows. Like Vixen was on the CW Seed, tied into that world, the animated series.
Yeah,
now Vixen's on.
Didn't have the regular shows.
The regular
everyone
shows.
Everyone wants to see.
Interesting.
But the app came out yesterday. Tested it. It works fine. So I'll be able to watch my CW shows next week because, unfortunately, I'm like you. I'm running around, and I don't get to watch TV until Friday and Saturday nights.
Exactly.
And usually my Friday nights is and if I'm not out driving, which is, it's just, you know, usually after 11, man, I pop that on and I binge watch the shows for the week. I have a particular order.
Right.
I think I'm going to stop watching Gotham soon, though.
Yeah, Gotham seems to be a hit or miss show with a lot of fans. I'm on the miss side. I only saw a couple episodes since it is a Monday night. I may catch up on it now that it's on Netflix. But it's not really. I mean, I watch Batman for Batman. And to do a show.
The best way I heard it
described. No, I don't watch Batman for Batman?
No, I'm sorry. No, I said the best way I heard that show described is it's a ham and cheese sandwich without the ham.
Well, there you go. If you want ham, you're not getting it. Well, I mean, there's some things as a big Batman fan that I am. I'm a huge Batman fan. There are things that just drive me to the point of actually putting on tights and going out and punching people in the head. Not that I've never done that.
Huh. You
have. Rethink my life at times. I was just thinking, I do that all the time. I really need to rethink my life. There's something wrong with me. But you know. To have all these fully functional bat villains running around and you know, a 10-year-old Batman or whatever he is, you know, it just, I'm like, when he grows up, he's going to be beating up old men. It's just not right. I mean, I'm all for when they said Gotham and it was going to be about Gordon and this, that. I thought, great, you know, you can do a couple villains and set up the crime scene and the young Cobblepot. I'm like, this is great. But now they're like, and here comes Mr. Freeze. I'm like, what?
And the absolute worst part of that show is Jada Pinkett Smith. Oh, she has got to be like one of the most awful actresses that I've ever seen come out of Hollywood. Like, I literally cringe when she's on the screen because it seems so forced. With what she's doing, it's like I was so happy when they killed her off in the first season, and so bummed when I brought her back last year. I was like, no, and I think that's a big part of it. I know a lot of people are turned off by her character and her acting in the show,
right?
And I just don't see. I'll be honest, I don't see Gotham make it. It's much further past this year.
I'm not sure how the ratings are on that one. Fox seems to like it. So I'm not sure. And like I said, I honestly haven't given it all that much thought. It's not something I've watched a lot of. I may go back and binge watch it going into the new year. They catch up on the old shows. But, you know, between the ones I keep up with now and the ones I need to keep up with, I don't know if it'll make the cut, but I know Gotham's a hit or miss show with a lot of people. I know people who like it. They like it because they take it as it is. You know, it's very different, but I think sometimes I'm more apt to like something like a Luke Cage that I don't have a lot of personal history with than any Batman movie, because in my head I know what a Batman movie is supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. It's just not, you know, you need that oomph, and the fact that, like you said, you know, the Penguin's there, the Mr. Freeze is there,
yeah,
the Riddler, and when he gets old, it's not even going to be a challenge.
Yeah, right. He's just smacking around old men. So, circling back to Cage, what are you hoping to see coming going forward? Without giving away too much, I mean, obviously nobody's seen it all, so we can still make speculative guess. What are you hoping to see?
I'm hoping that they start the base for the Heroes for Hire. And I'll be honest, Marvel has such a rich library of characters. I'd really like to see them touch on some of these other villains that maybe aren't big enough for the movies, but are big enough for the small screen. Like, I know this is, I have no idea if they're ever going to make an appearance or if anybody else knows who they are besides me, but I'd love to see at some point the Wrecking Crew just make an appearance. And that would be a great team for him to go against, villains to go against, or even one or two of them. And, you know, like you said, with the Serpent Society.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of what I'm hoping to see. I'm hoping to see them develop. I never thought I would see Nuke. I love that character. I loved him in the Born Again Daredevil series. I was so surprised that they got him out, because they snuck him in, you know, not in Daredevil, but in Jessica Jones. And I'm like, ooh, because you know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping they actually, maybe not this season, but one of the upcoming seasons of Daredevil, they do the Born Again storyline.
That could be interesting. Obviously, I haven't seen. I'm wondering if Daredevil will be the big bad for Defenders, because my first pick for the big bad already kind of showed up. I thought the Defender series, because of the tie-in with Iron Fist and the episode with Stick, was going to end up being the Hand. Because I thought that would be big numbers. You need a group to come together. You know, you can do the whole thing. But obviously, they at least started that train with Daredevil and the Punisher in season two. So I don't know now that it's a big enough threat to bring the Defenders together. So I don't know if it's going to be a Kingpin thing or they're bringing in someone completely new, but I'm completely stumped as to where, which is interesting at this point, because, you know, even though we knew the Avengers were coming together, we didn't know how.
Yeah, I think they're actually going to go with a big bad instead of a street-level threat. I think
something interesting I want to see. I don't think it'll happen. I really, really don't. But if I was blue skying this situation, there was a reference in the first episode to a villain in a previous Marvel movie who, one way or another, plays into the plot. And one of the characters didn't name drop him, but when you saw the name of this character show up, and they were vague about how he had a connection to that character, it made me wonder if they were going to do something crazy and tie into the main Marvel Universe in a big way. And it'd be great to see, especially because I loved the portrayal. I know a lot of people didn't, but the portrayal of that character in the movie that he was in. And I will say it's not the Mandarin, don't be crazy. But try not to spoil what may be a big plot point, may be a moot plot point at this point. But do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I can honestly say I do not.
All right. There is a crime that takes place in the relative beginning of the show that kicks off the rest of the plot. You know what I'm talking about.
That I do, okay.
Okay. We'll say there was money involved because that's not a huge sponsor, but the other thing that was involved. Right?
Okay.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about, though. There was two. There was supposed to be a trade-off, money for something.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That something. Did you see the name of the somethings?
No, I missed it.
Okay.
Because I watched it on my phone
Okay, so you may have missed it.
Yeah, so I may not have seen it because, you know, I'm watching it on a 6-inch
right.
screen.
Well, when you go back and catch it,
I'm
going to
watch it tomorrow.
Right. There is something in that scene that ties directly into another villain from a previous Marvel movie. Secondary, yet main
villain.
Was it
one of the current Marvel movies or before the
phase one?
Okay.
Think about what they were dealing. And I know if you're listening now, you're like, come on and just spill it already. think about what the situation was. You know what was in the trade, right? Specialized in that particular trade. Sales.
Okay, I think I know.
Who has not been heard from since that movie. He's still alive. What is the beeping beeping?
Interesting.
I'm getting a beeping in my ear. Yeah. So hopefully it ties into that. I don't know that it will, but it'd be fun to see that happen.
Oh, and like I said, you know what? It's funny. I now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, maybe the threat will be the reason they come together is maybe the threat will be another supervillain team.
That could be too. You could bring some of these characters together.
Like we were just talking about the Serpent Society.
Yeah, could be. I mean, they haven't teased that yet, but that would be a good phase two, or you know, even start setting that up. Because you know, it's not too late to start setting it up. You have all of this show. We don't know where they're going. All of Iron Fist to get to before we get there. So.
Yeah, and one, I'll tell you, one villain that keeps getting talked about that's going to pop up in the Marvel Universe is the Taskmaster.
Yeah, he's kind of one of the big ones they haven't gotten to yet.
And that could be,
and they're,
interesting enough with the way he trains the terrorists. He's also one of the big bads in the Marvel Universe. That could be another one they could throw in there and bring the Defenders together.
It's possible, and they're priming the pump because he showed up in the Spider-Man series as a huge villain for a while. He was like the med for the whole season, I believe. So they're kind of introducing him to, which I think they do on that show sometimes. They start to introduce characters who are going to play a bigger role in things. Because you saw Doctor Strange, you saw the Guardians all show up before their movies and all.
Yeah, so you're definitely looking at some great stuff, and so to get back to your question, that's kind of what I'm hoping. I'm hoping to see some secondary villains because I think they're stocked on the heroes, but I am hoping to see some villains that maybe we may not have got a chance to see at some point.
Right.
You know,
well, we
so,
got Hellcat
so,
out there somewhere, so we certainly can get into some deep ponds with the villains as well. So. All right,
yeah,
I'm
that,
very
that
much
one,
looking forward to see where this.
No, I was like, yeah, that one kind of surprised me. Like when I seen her popping up on, and I was like, I did not see that one coming. And then, and then they threw Nuke at you, and you were like, wow. I mean, you knew the Purple Man was going to be there, and if Netflix has any decency, he is not dead. He has to come back.
He was quite brilliant, for sure. Quite brilliant.
Well, if you remember, when she supposedly took him out, he finally turned purple.
Right.
So I'm hoping that means he's not out of the picture yet, because that was probably their most brilliant casting yet.
Really was. I'll never look at Doctor Who the same. It scares me now. It was so good. He was so good in that role. And yeah, it will be interesting to see if they even try something like that to bring him back. They may not. It could have all been maybe that was part of his brainwashing. They only think he's dead.
You know what? I thought the exact same. It's funny, man. It shows the way, you and I kind of get on the same page sometimes. I was actually earlier in the week thinking the same thing. I was like, how great would that be if they bring him back? And, you know, we saw you dead. Well, no. I told you to see me dead.
Right. He thought he saw me dead. So, all right. Well, we got many more episodes of Luke Cage to go. I'm sure we'll touch on it again as it wraps up. I just wanted to jump on since it happened to be launch day and discuss that. And you'll definitely be watching more?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I traditionally like to watch. I'm not one of them people who want to watch them all in the next 2 days. I actually pace myself and watch one a week.
Okay.
Because, I like to enjoy them. I like to drag, me and my brother will sit there and we'll watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then we'll watch Luke Cage or Daredevil or Jessica Jones or whatever. And that's been the tradition now since the Netflix started the show, so we're going to keep up with that. So, yeah, I will be watching. Unfortunately, I won't be binge-watching them. So if you're looking for me to give you more than one episode at a time, I got to apologize. I can't do that.
No, it's all right. I don't know that we're doing episode by episode. I just wanted to see if you're interested enough and keep watching.
Oh, I would say I knew I was interested enough 10 minutes in.
There you go. All right. Well, it looks like another caller on the line. Are you going to hang out or have you got to go?
No. If you want me to hang out, I'll gladly hang out.
Well, you can hang on there for another minute. I'm not sure who this is, but I will say, caller. There you go. Caller, welcome to the show.
Do you guys remember the character Dirk from the RoboCop cartoon?
Do we remember who now?
I think he was like the chief's son.
Okay, yeah.
Good stuff.
Hello.
I mean, don't you think it's time for a black Batman? Maybe like Chinese?
Chinese,
I mean, if you're
going to
give us a black and Fury, you might as well get a black Batman.
Well, why not?
Just sick and tired of all this affirmative action bullcrap.
There we go. We had our first troll caller. Thank you. that was fun.
Hey, man,
aren't you glad you hung in for that?
Yeah, but you know what? That's great, just want
to. Yeah, that's what he wanted to talk about. He wanted to talk about the random character from the RoboCop cartoon and
then
go to the
internet
on a Friday night. Right.
Yeah. The joys of broadcasting over the internet airwaves,
That's all right. So, with that out of the way.
But hey, thank you for listening.
Right, exactly.
You're bringing up the ratings.
Alrighty. Well, Mr. Frank, hi. Thank you for calling in, sir. You got anything you got to plug? You got nothing to plug now. Everyone else has got something to plug. You need something to plug. Plug something. Happy Frank's
talk of the week.
Yeah, I have. I got nothing.
Well, I mean, you had an appearance this week on another Totally Driven show, the 200th show of Totally Driven Radio. Got to be pretty cool that the show you helped start is now on the air, 200 episodes.
Yeah, wonderful. It was interesting, you know.
There you go.
It was like the black sheep of the family returning, and then, you know, being sat at the kiddie table and then told to leave after dinner.
At least they let you stay for dinner.
No, they really didn't, actually. But it is what it is.
I only have 198 shows to go to get where they are, so. It's a start.
I'm not hanging around that long.
Oh, yeah, we know.
Yeah. Bay worked my nerves after 50 shows, so there ain't no way I'm hanging around for 200.
That's all right. So. All right. Well, we are. I think I'm going to wrap it up for tonight. So I thank you, sir, for calling in.
Oh, no problem. It was my pleasure. Like I said, you know, I love to contribute. You know, I could talk comics and movies and comic books forever. And I appreciate, you know, giving me the opportunity to come in with my input on the Luke Cage show. Definitely telling all your callers and everyone listening, check it out. You won't be – I mean, it's almost a reason to buy Netflix if you don't have it. And,
yeah, for sure. Well, that's the reason I did buy it was Daredevil, so, and I kept it. So it definitely worked.
And now that they got the exclusive with Marvel where they're going to get all the Marvel movies, the TV shows, and all that, you can't go wrong with the, you know, for what they charge.
No, absolutely not. Definitely worth it. There's a lot of other stuff on there too, but I actually got it for Daredevil. I still have it several years later, and I'm definitely looking forward to more to come. So, thanks for calling in. I hope you become part of our regular circle of callers, Magic Mike and a few others who have yet to chime in but are planning on it down the line. So I will say goodbye to you so I can get to my end of show plugs and head on out.
All right, man. Happy trails.
Happy trails. I'll talk to you soon. That was our buddy Frank here on the show. Thank him for calling in. I also want to thank Magic Mike for calling in and keeping the show rolling today. We had a good time talking about Luke Cage on Netflix and all the happening comics. You see, we got off the track a couple times, but that's what happens with comics. One thing leads to another. So, for more information on the Maverick Comic Roundup show, my blogs, appearances, and more, go to mavericksroundup.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at Mavericks Roundup and Facebook at Mavericks Roundup as well. You can search those two things, and I should hopefully pop up. You can read my weekly comic book reviews for the Totally Driven radio and TV networks at totallydriventv.com. And now I'm also, something else to add to my list, writing comic reviews for my personal favorite comic book store, The Comic Universe in Folsom, PA. You can check out their Facebook at Comic Universe and check out my review for Faith Number One. My first one got published this week on their Facebook. I'll be putting in reviews regularly on their Facebook page. And if you're a Star Wars fan, you can check out my Star Wars Family podcast that I host with my two daughters, Galactic Clubhouse. You can go to galacticclubhouse.libsyn.com to listen to that fun little show as we cover family fun Star Wars style. Until next week, when we talk more comics and movies and whatever else is hot in the world, thank you for tuning in to Maverick's Comic Roundup. Happy trails and good night.